Blog Talk Radio.
People sinking down. Don't you care? Don't you care? Are you gonna let them drown? How can you be so numb not to care if they come? You close your eyes and pretend the job's done. Oh, bless me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. You know, it's all I ever hear. No one aches, no one hurts, no one even sheds one tear. But he cries, he weeps, he bleeds, and he cares for your needs. And you just lay back and keep soaking it in. Away. You see the need, you hear the cries, so how can you delay? God's calling, and you're the one, but like Johnny, you're on. He's told you to speak, but you keep holding it in. Oh, that's it, that's it. The world is sleeping in the dark. That the church just can't fight, cause it's asleep in the light. How can you be so dead when you've been so well fed? Jesus rose from the grave, and you can't even get out of bed.
And welcome to your place. I'm Starla, and tonight we'll continue our discussion on the strange occurrences around the world. This is part two, where we'll be stopping to take a look at the unusual things that are happening around the world during the past few months. From things being found dead and unusual sounds of horns blowing heard around the world, we wanted to give everybody a chance to share their thoughts on this and it has, see if it has anything to do with the scripture in the Bible. We look forward to hearing your thoughts and comments on this. And now, without further ado, here's our host, Wild Bill.
Well, hello, Starla. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Well, I'm doing good. I'm sitting down here in my cave, and I was just thinking, I was wondering what in the world I was thinking when I picked that song for the show. And then it sort of hit me. You know, we seem to live in a time of where we have our own perceptions of right and our own perceptions of wrong and our own perception of Christianity and our own perception of politics and our own perception as to how important we are. And, you know, sometimes I think we lose sight of the big picture of what everything's all about, including, you know, the topic for our show tonight, and which I've always been a huge fan of Keith Green. His music, the men, couldn't have been any more real than anybody I've ever, you know, had the opportunity to hear about that was so well known. But we did kind of lolly scratch the surface last week on some of the things, and I'd kind of taken up more time than I meant to, and from what I understand, Blog Talk Mom's done a little bit more research into this, and I know you have some more thoughts that you wanted to share regarding, you know, just how unique some of the things have been happening around the world. And so I did want to go back to this topic and allow everyone to share what they had. But before we start, I want to try one more time to play one of the recordings of what was heard. For those that missed last week, there's been this sound of horns being blown around the world that's been heard. And it's like if you could track it going across the globe. And I found out about this from NPR News. Had actually went and researched the people that had called in to authorities reporting this before all the fake things started coming out and all the hoaxes and the things that happen in today's time with technology. We can, you know, just about make any kind of news report or any kind of scam thing we want to make. So anyway, I'm going to try to play that for you one more time, and y'all just kind of bear with me here. I don't know about you, but I think if I'd been somewhere and heard that noise, and this was actually recorded from some people in a fifth-floor apartment, you could hear some background noise from a construction that was going on. And when I was saying that this sound had such power to it, it wasn't that it was that loud. It was just like it permeated everything and seemed to come from no set direction. Although it's really funny, you can look at the different videos that people had posted where they'd run outside with their phone trying to find out what this was. All of them, even though it didn't seem like this was where the sound was coming from, they were all looking in the sky trying to find the source of what this was. So, Charlotte, I want to turn this over to you with some of the points that you were wanting to bring up last week, and I kind of ran over you a little bit about some of the other strange things that have been happening and how you kind of feel this goes together.
Well, I was just looking at the video that Blog Talk Mom had on her website or her Facebook page, and it was just really fascinating to me to see about the birds dropping in the air, from the air in Arkansas, and there were some dead fish in the Arkansas River, and I think it was in France, there were millions of fish that had died and come up on shore, and the next day they were, all of them were gone. And also in Arkansas, there were 200 cows that just, they just died. I mean, they weren't a field dead. And, I mean, how could you explain this except an act of God? Blog Talk Mom, do you have anything on this?
I hope you can hear me. I am sitting in my car because I can't seem to get good reception in my trailer. Am I coming through okay?
Yeah.
Okay. I appreciate what you said. Well, I appreciate you, Wild Bill, for having this program and for giving us an opportunity to look at these things and share, and also give other people opportunities to give their opinions. And you too, Sister Starla, I appreciate that also. It's interesting to me, this week, after I talked to Wild Bill and after last week, I began to go through not only websites like on YouTube and just Google different words, then I went to different religious groups and got their opinions, and I was just, it seemed like they would always get away from any kind of solution. It seemed like they just created more tremendous amount of data about a pre-Adamic race, how all of the different things, the signs of that go to Nostradamus and other groups and New Age, and then they call that, they seem to always refer to Christian preachers as doomsday preachers, which was a slur in itself. So I was speaking with Sister Reverend Kaiser, and we were praying about it, seeking the Lord about it, and I specifically asked her to agree with me that if God is speaking to us, then help us in our limited way to wade through all of this information and just hear the voice of God. And immediately, Sister Kaiser said, well, as it was in the days of Noah, she quoted that scripture, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Lord. And it was just like a light turned on for me. I began to look at the scriptures in 2 Peter. I have those if later on you want me to refer to them and read them to you. The words of Jesus Christ as he spoke in Matthew and in Luke about the last days, how the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the people of that day tried to twist things. And in 2 Peter, he even said that, you know, they're going to be scoffers and mockers in the last days. But God specifically said that there would be signs in the heavens above and in the earth beneath. And these signs are, to me, that God was telling us, they're like the parable that the Lord spoke when he was here on this earth. To those that did not want to know, those that did not want to follow, those that were in their own lust, in their own way, they didn't understand the parables. But to those that desired to know and were willing to follow the Lord, they understood. And it was great, profound truth. To me, it is very plain, as I follow the scripture, just the plain scripture, that there will be, in the last days, these types of signs in the earth and in the heavens above. So much that man will absolutely cry for the rocks to fall on them for fear. They'll take the money that they have and throw it in the streets. We are definitely being blessed, and that's another thing that the scripture says over and over, because of the long suffering of God, and his mercy and his compassion and his goodness. He gives us these things to wake us up. Like, while Bill, y'all brought it out so beautifully last week about the snooze alarm, and you know how we want to go back to sleep. We don't want to wake up. We don't really want to face reality, because it will require total focus and total absolute following the voice of God. And I have scriptures. Y'all go ahead and comment however you want to, and then if you have want me to read one, I will.
No, I think that's real good. I wish you would just go ahead and just follow through with the scriptures you have and everything, because it seems like you have a flow with what you have there. So just go ahead and follow your point all the way through.
Well, I was just so thrilled at how God makes things so simple, you know, because it was the more I read about all these different cultures and religions, and it got and what they said in the observatories and the apocalypse, it gave me a headache. But as soon as I just went to the Word of God, and Jesus plainly said, when they wanted to know about the end time, he said, as it was in the days of Noah. Well, how was it? There was wickedness throughout the entire world, the known world at that time. There was 100 years that Noah preached. He preached righteousness, and he told them, it's going to rain. And if that had been today, they'd have ran to the observatory and said, uh-uh, it's going to rain. It had never rained. But I tell you what, if God says it's going to rain, honey, it's going to rain. And when things are going to come to an end, it's going to come to an end. And man has an opportunity now, because of the mercy of God, to cry out to him and to get things right with him. In 2 Peter, it said, beginning with the 3rd chapter, and I'll start reading in the 3rd verse. Knowing this first, now this is putting it in order, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. Why are they scoffers? Because he said they're walking after their own lust. If there has ever been a time in history where mankind is so comfortable in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And so he goes on to say, and say, where is the promise of his coming? Now, this is what all these writers that I read over and over said, we were doomsday preachers. Well, Jesus was a doomsday preacher, I guess. Anyway, let me go ahead and quit trying to comment so much. Also, Reverend Kaiser had some comments that she wanted to make also. Okay, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And this is what he says. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant, or he's to the beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. What he's saying right there is, don't go by man's science, all the discoveries and how they put things together, because they do not know. They cannot interpret God with those kinds of, like the theory of evolution, which is the most ignorant. You've got to have so much faith that you could walk on water if you believe in evolution. Okay. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, and I read that. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but, and this is so beautiful, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. I love that. The Lord is long-suffering. He doesn't want anyone to perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up, And then he goes on to say, seeing then that all these things, these shall be dissolved, he sums it up. What manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And he goes on to admonish us on how to live. And any comments that you wanted to make on those scriptures?
I just, one thing that you were kind of, you know, hitting on there, where you was talking about the audience of who things is for. I know so many times in the church we want to claim so many things to be to us. But the people of faith, the people that are supposed to be living for God, that's supposed to have a relationship with God, I don't believe these signs are for us. I believe this is for the lukewarm Christian. I believe it's for those that have maybe had a relationship with God and gone astray, or those that know of God and are running from God. I think these signs are come about for those people to see that there's more than what's happening in a church. There's more than just works and fruits of the Spirit that you can see in a church and see in people's lives. That God is not limited to what you see in the church house. He's not limited to moving in a church service. You know, he can allow these signs and wonders to happen for the whole world to be aware. But, you know, so many times we want to act like, well, this is to us. And, you know, but really, if you stop and think about it, I don't think that's really who this is for.
I really like what you're saying. I really, really do. Because God, like, you know, the scriptures that Peter wrote here, he didn't want anyone to perish. It wasn't just for a chosen few. My point in that is that we, as the ones that are living for God, we should have the answers. We should have them with love and compassion. And when these things come to pass and people wonder and they want to know, you know, is God going to destroy me? Does he hate me? Say, no, you know, we've got the answers. This is just like it was in the days of Noah. God prepared a way then with the ark, and he's prepared a way through Jesus Christ. Come on into the ark. You know, it's a positive and a beautiful message that we are to give, but we should be sure. Don't you think we should be just really solid in our belief as to what God is doing?
Oh, definitely. I think we should be aware. But there again, if you know, it's one of those things calling it doomsday, but if for the people in the church, this is our graduation day. This is our promotion. Doomsday, heck, woo! This is my chance to go and be with the one who died for me and made a way of escape so that I could have life and have it more abundant. I think we got somebody else on here, too, that's got a comment. Do we, Starla?
Well, Sister Kaiser, how are you?
Well, I'm just wonderful, thank the Lord. And all of you sound really good. And
well, we're doing very well, thank you. And you sound very good.
Well, it's because the Lord is good to us, isn't he?
That's true.
I believe Sister Riley was reading in 2 Peter chapter 3. I'd like to read a couple of verses out of 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. I'll take verse 11. It says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Have in your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers." You know, it's a trying time in this world. Of course, it's always been like that. But we're older. We, you know, when we were young, we just thought that's the way life was. But when your own family, your own church people, your own cohorts, workers, employers, employees, however many they are, you know, when they say, well, they look at you and you're trying to live a righteous, sold-out life to the Lord, they say, well, you're just an evildoer, because they think in their carnal nature, that guy's got you right. I mean, you've had people that talk to you. I've had people stop me on the street, stop me on the sidewalk, stop me in stores and say, are you one of them? Are you Pentecostal? And I said, well, what does that mean? I kind of act like, you know, So what is Pentecostal? Oh, you know, that's the kind of people believe you ought to speak in tongues. And as one young man in New Orleans one time, I was walking down the sidewalk, and he was approaching me, and my sisters, and he looked right at me, and he said, "I can tell by looking, you're a holy roller." I said, "Well, thank you. I can tell by looking, you're not." And there's another guy down, he said, "You must be one of those tongue talkers." I said, "Well, I am." He said, "Well," he snapped his finger, and he said, "Come on, talk in tongues for me." I said, "All right, I'm going to tell you. Before I do that, I want to ask you a question." I said, "Have you ever dreamed a dream?" He said, "Well, yeah." I said, "Come on, dream me a dream. Right now. Come on, spit it out." He said, "Well, I'm not asleep." I said, "By the same token, the Bible said that we receive the power to speak with other tongues as the Spirit give the utterance." My whole focus in stating this is that everything God instituted and set up ought to be righteous and encouraging and fulfilling in the life of a Christian is something we can live by and gauge the times and seasons by, but it's not hocus pocus and it's nothing we just make up. I thank God for clarity and His word and instruction. But let me continue on. I just digress. I'm been around such a lot, so I'm digressing. Just a little jab. She knows I'm just kidding. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may be your good by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Won't you be excited to see people coming to God in the day of visitation? Because somebody is going to come and somebody is going to receive it eventually.
That's right.
And, yes, in verse 13 says, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake," and that hits me right in the gullet because I don't like driving 55 miles an hour. I don't like to drive 60 miles an hour. I like to drive 70 miles an hour. I'm confessing my faults to you guys tonight. But anyway, we have to submit because our laws are such as if we do not submit, they would throw us into the lamb, you know. But go on here. It says, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake." So it'll be a good testimony, whether it be to the king as supreme. So we thank God tonight that His grace and His mercy is rich and full. And we've been talking about the signs of the times, as Live and I, and Brother Shearer. We've been talking about the martyrs for the gospel's sake and people that had written and gave us the grandest documents ever concerning the clarity of the Word of God. William Tyndale and all those writers that's so valuable to our spiritual knowledge, but they were all burned. They were good. They fought for truth. They stood out. They were laughed on. They were spit on. They were burned at the stake. Here we are complaining somebody just kind of crossed their eyes wrong at us sometimes. Amen, church?
That's right.
Amen.
That's true. We need to stop and really take stock because we have built ourselves up to be so important on what we feel. And we cater to our feelings so much. I'm talking about myself. I'm not really talking about anybody else. But, you know, it's like my feelings should be the most important. You know, it shouldn't hurt my feelings. You know, if I go to church, you know, everybody should make a point of making me feel good. I'm at church, you know. And, you know,
yeah.
I mean, it's just, you see what I'm saying? We get this certain thing here where we get this self-importance. And then it's all about, you know, like we were talking about, the pride of life. I mean, some people don't really stop to think about what that actually means. You know, what is the pride of life? Is it talking about, you know, just living every day, or is it talking about, like, man, I'm doing good? You know, look at what I've accomplished in my life. Even if it's spiritual things, we need to be very careful to realize that the works that we're doing are not our works, but we're the vessel doing the work of God. You know, but it's so hard sometimes not to get one to put so much of me, myself, and I into these things
right.
when they happen. Like, woo, look what I did, Lord. And, you know, you got to really stop and think about it now. Look what the Lord did. Look what God is doing. You know, I'm just the vessel. Thank God that you could use me, you know, that I could be in that position in just some way, shape, form, or fashion to be used. And that's why I feel about this show from day one. If it just a message touches one person, if there's one seed of word that goes out and helps one person from that one particular show, you know, that's what it's all about. It's not about hundreds and thousands and everything. God does the drawing. God does the work. It's God that makes a perfect vessel out of something that's imperfect. None of us on this show could do that. and it's only God. And even with all these signs and things that are happening, and I wish I could have got more time to got more of the scientific things, what they're saying about all this. But, you know, it's like we were talking last week. It really doesn't matter because God's not baffled by any of this. You know, there may be a scientific, you know, I used to see people take a blade of grass and put it between their thumbs, and they could sit up there and they could make a whistle noise through that. And I thought, man, I want to be able to do that. And I never could do it. And, you know, so what if there's something happening in the earth or something happening in our atmosphere that's causing these things to happen? That science may think, well, we got to grasp of what this is, because God is who's in control. Science is not in control. Man's not in control. It's God that allows these things. You know, it could be where he's allowed two different things to come together and got a little piece of grass in there and he's just blowing on it like I used to see people doing. Who knows? But God's not baffled by any of these things. I bet you could do that, couldn't you, Sister Kaiser?
Well, I can blow a straw.
I've seen you do that.
May I say this to you? We have some people that have missed having the program. And that's Sister Rita Gillum and Preston and Bill Howell. And so if they're listening tonight, we want you to know they're glad that you're back on the circuit, and they love your program. They appreciate you. It's a time that they can come together, Brother Bill. So thank you for putting this together. And on that thought, let me just share one more scripture in Romans 2, verse 1, if I may. Therefore, thou art inexcusable. I don't know how many times people, and probably they tell it to you too, but they tell me how many times they cannot. They have too many excuses. They can't get to church. They can't pray. They don't know how to pray. They don't understand the Bible. They don't want to study the Bible. But the Bible's got it nailed down here, Romans 2 and 1. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest dost the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. I thank God for truth and for understanding and clarity and knowledge that God gives us to make us self-religious. I'm just saying, you know, we do understand the scripture, and woe be unto us if we don't make it.
Amen. Kind of changing this up here a little bit, Sister Kaiser. What do you feel as far as, you know, everyone's talked about the Mayan calendar and all these things, and 2012 is the year, and I thought it was very interesting. Some of the books on this is talking about, you know, solar flares, and just last week we had solar flares that actually was disrupting computers and telephones and cell phones and satellites and things. But, you know, what do you think about all this as far as the signs of the times and things that are happening? I mean, of course, we see that, you know, some things are still going on. There's marrying and giving in marriage, and, you know, but all these things that are happening here that's so unusual. Do you think, what do you feel about that?
Well, as I say sometimes in my never to be humble opinion, but it's only an opinion, I know the Bible is still truth, and it says that we will know of some signs, you know, marrying and giving in marriage. We know all of that. But as far as these things that are going to be aligning soon, nobody knows the day or the hour. And a lot of people are going to spend a lot of energy and time and research and doing their thing, except obeying the Bible. Nobody knows. I don't think anything's going to have at the year 2012. I know I had the newspaper article that showed solar flares, and some got out of line, and then it caused all those frequencies to go haywire. And I understand that. But that may be God just kind of tapping, you know, just say, I'm here, I'm hearing what you're saying and what you're feeling. But you know what? The main thing is to keep the main thing. And let's keep focused on salvation and truth and righteousness and treating our brothers and sisters right and treating all the world right. And that's just, like I said again, that's just my opinion. God's just going to come in God's time, and he's the only one that really knows.
That's right. That's very good. What do you think about all this? I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I'll make this short. That's not to say we're going to have some unusual happenings, because that something's got to be the roadblocks to get us to the finish line. So right now we're just in training.
That's right. Block Time Mom, did you find a little script? I never could find that one. I know I was looking for it wrong, where it talked about the earth moaning or groaning or something. Did you find that?
I did. I don't have it marked right here. Sister Kaiser can be looking it up. She's inside. We read it when we were reading all the different scriptures about the prophecy of the last day. Jesus, I might mention, in the St. Luke, the 21st chapter, in the 11th verse, Jesus said, there will be great earthquakes, shall be in diverse places, and famine, and pestilences, and fearful fights, and great signs shall there be from the heavens. It seems like each one, like Katrina, I had never seen such devastation in my life. It was just horrific. And, you know, you're just so stirred and you're so focused during a time like that. And I think one of the tsunami out there was one of them. I forgot that which one was 300,000 people were killed. And, I mean, we get very aware of our frailty. But then, you know, as time goes on, again, the cares of life and the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, it begins to choke out the Word of God. Sister Kaiser and I, we looked at the DVD of the KJV. I definitely would suggest that anybody watch that video. And as we look at the history of how we received the Bible, the Word of God, I told Pastor Shiel, I said, it makes me want to at least consecrate at least an hour a day to spend time and cherish the Word of God. And, you know, we've got it on video, we've got it DVD, we've got it cassettes, we've got CDs, we've got every kind of version in the world, and yet we will spend more time doing almost anything. And it's amazing that we can get so distracted. There was a scripture I think you'll find interesting, according to what you said a while ago, talking about the wisdom of man. In 1 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 1.
25.
And it is. Do you want to read it, Sister Kaiser?
No, go ahead.
Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, and not many mighty, and not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And it goes on to talk about the wisdom of God. But back to the days of Noah, when God reflected us back to that time, there had not rained. Now, I've heard one apostolic, he was a scientist, and he said that the world at that time was in the moisture was that came from the atmosphere, and that when God allowed that to break, then it just was a deluge of water that just covered the earth. It wasn't like just rain as we see rain. And because there was a mist that came up from the earth, and everything was just totally different. But again, the point is that if there had been scientists or whatever, they would have said that what Noah was saying was absolutely impossible. You know, they would have said, no, it can't be. But again, if God says it's going to be, and he did, I read in Luke, there will be signs in the heaven above, the earth beneath. You know, these are things that we see, and we must be willing to recognize that this is God nudging us, reminding us, and bringing us back into serving him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. Jesus said those are the two commandments, and all other commandments hang on those two thoughts, to love God and love our fellow man. And I don't know about you, but since all these things have been coming about, I have prayed a little harder for my attitude. I'm a wonderful person, y'all. But as Dr. John Shiel one time, or many times, said, Sister Lava, you are right, but your spirit is horrible. And, you know, our attitude, really, you know, haven't you ever just got a little judgmental or maybe a little brittle towards someone, or, you know, our long-suffering, the fruit of the Spirit, which is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness, meekness, temperance, faith, turns into, if you mess with me, I will do something or not do something. And so I've been asking God just to refill me with the love of God, and, it's working. Even my dog likes me better. Go ahead.
May I say something, please?
Sure.
I'm just going to read a few things right on the edge of my paper, my Bible right here. People know what's going to happen at the end time. Just quickly, briefly, it's going to be, according to Luke 21, it's going to be war, civil strife, earthquakes, famines, divers, pestilence, persecution of the disciples and the saints of God, persecution predicted, and in the synagogues, imprisonment, suffering for Christ, witnessing, testimony, promise of help in the testimony, spiritual utterances, and betrayal, and people gainsay to talk about it, inconstancy, inconsistency, martyrs, saints hated for Christ's sake, divine protection is assured. So we've got all these things facing us, but you know what? We have a Savior and a wise God that's going to help us and secure us and take care of us as long as we follow His word.
That's good. I have a question for both of you, and either one can answer however you want to. With all these things that's happening, why is this not being spoken of more in the churches? I mean, I've seen some of the websites where they started to post these things, and then some people started coming up with the same things that you mentioned earlier about, oh, it's just doomsday, you're just, you know, being negative, this stuff is fake, you should be smarter than that. But why is the church not using this more than what they are?
Maybe I personally think, go ahead, Sister Kaiser.
I'm sorry. My personal opinion is that, you know, everybody that fights against it and says it's doomsday, blah, 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 they're not really into the Word of God. But when they get into the Word of God and understand what's going to really happen, they're going to be left behind. They're going to be forsaken. I just read those things. I mean, they're going to be betrayed. They're going to be, because they said, well, y'all are just a bunch of idiots. You're just, you know, this, holy rollers, you're whatever. Just a whole long list of stuff. But all through the midst of that, there's a thread of grace and mercy to those who desire it, and God is going to look into those people. He will. I'll be able to take care of the righteous. In fact, the Word said He would take care of the righteous.
That's good. What did you have there, Blog Talk Mom?
Well, in this, more or less in this more modern age, we have been called Bible bangers, and, there's been, Satan has been very subtle in his intimidation of the church as far as their ministry, and we have tried, I believe, sincerely to present the gospel in a different way, not so much as a fire escape from hell, you know, but just to help people fall in love with the Lord. And in the last, this amazed me while Bill, that in the timeline, it's not been that long. It's just like been 100 years since we had World War I, World War II, the Great Depression, all of these things that, you know, people were extremely stirred. And then in 1948, when Israel became a nation again, people were really looking for the coming of the Lord. This was such great fulfillment of the ingathering of Israel, God's chosen people. And then, because He did not come right away, and the Bible speaks of this, again, because he's not going to, you know, we made a fool out of ourselves. They made fun of people in the 1940s when they got so sure, the church got so sure of the coming of the Lord that they didn't even put fence posts up with oak fence posts. They just used pine, thinking that, you know, the Lord was going to come. It didn't really matter. And so because of this, there's been an intimidation, I think, of trying to approach the world. We've lost a lot of our credibility, not necessarily because we deserve to lose it, but just because the church has become worldly and the world has become churchy. The lines are not as distinct as they used to be. I'm talking about in America. You know, I don't know about, you know, everywhere else, but that's just my opinion, that we just are intimidated to bring these things out. And I think that these obvious things, like the birds and the fish, gives us an opportunity. It's like the Lord gives us an introduction. Now, what are we going to do with it? I, for one, am planning and seeking to be able to teach at least one Bible study a week. I've been asking people, and I want to start picking people up that don't have a ride to church. You know, I can't do a lot, but it's better to light one candle than curse the darkness. These, again, I'm saying that these things that are so obvious, rather than try to scare people into heaven, but just say, now look, let me show you what the Word of God says. In other words, it introduces us again to proclaim the gospel, the good news. I'm sure that over and over, Moses said, I'm building an ark. I'm building a way that you can come to safety. Now, they laughed, and they made fun of him, but he kept right on building, and he kept right on preaching. And so that's what we're to do. We'll keep right on building, keep living for God with all of our heart, and keep right on preaching. He is coming back. And in the book of Revelation, in the very last verses, he which testifies these things, that's all my, the Lord Jesus Christ, says, surely I come quickly. That's been 2,000 years ago. You think we're ever closer right now than we've ever been? And then it said, amen, even so, come, Lord Jesus. And while Bill, I love what you said a while ago, it's graduation day. It's our, you know, our race is run. Victory is ours. Our King is King of Kings and has taken his rightful place. Oh, it's an exciting thing for us, and we need to be just so longing to see him, longing to see him, and seeking for him to come back and being prepared. And I really appreciate this program. It's done so much for me just the last week in studying the Word of God.
Well, I appreciate everything that both of you have had to say on this. And Starla, did you have anything else to add? I know I kind of covered you up last week. Did you get everything in that you wanted to share?
Well, I have that scripture that was at the end of the website on Blog Talk Moms. It's Hosea 4, 1 through 3. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, no mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish, with the beasts of the field, with the fowls of the heaven, yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away.
Wow. You know, there's a lot of things we can give our opinions on things, but when you give God's word, there's a power that comes when you apply God's word to situations and things. Do you all feel that? You know, we can all say what we think, but when you put God's word there, there is no stronger authority. You know, there is no better roadmap as to what we need to have in our life. And did you have anything else to comment on that, Starla?
No, I found everything that's being said very interesting.
Yeah. And it's so easy to want to get judgmental. You know, you can look and say, well, you know, this church is not doing that, and that church is not doing this. And, you know, one of the things that we've learned with this program is the only thing that we have control of is ourselves. You know, we can't control the direction of the flow of a spirit in a church service. We can't control the direction that the church, if they want to make everything positive, and we're not going to look at anything that might, you know, point as a negative light, you know, because we don't want to be the negative people. We got to be, I don't guess the church has to be politically correct. I guess we have to be religiously correct. I'm not sure even how you would word it, but it's church correct or something. I'm not sure. You know, to everything needs to be positive. We don't need to be the people that's negative anymore. We're not the people that's on the wrong side of the tracks anymore. The Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues has become popular in today's society. It's a lot of faiths now, you know, have taken that as part of what they believe and teach and preach in their churches. And so it's not that there's the outsiders. It's not the low-life people and the trashy people, the ones that were at the wit's end in life that had nothing else to turn to. And so they turned to God, and they reached out with all they had, and they found that there was a God reaching back just as hard as they were reaching out for him and giving him a power in their life that they never dreamed it was possible, because it was just not one of those things that was popular. But now it's the popular thing, you know, to have the Holy Ghost, even though they sort of make some fun of some of the people in politics that were, you know, claim to have the infilling of the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues and things like that. You know, and I know people are getting so tired of me turning things back to fortune, but one of the things when we talk to people in fortune is that, you know, we tell them we have an opportunity for them. This is something that can change your life. And when you go to talk to people, some people sometimes react by saying, well, you know, I don't have time, and I don't really have the money, and that's just what they come back with. But in truth, a lot of times what's really going inside is that they don't want you to think that they think that they're dumber than you, because they have to ask you a question. So they just come back with something like this to see what kind of response you're going to have, because they're not going to say, well, I don't really understand this, and I want to look for you to give me an answer on something, when they look at you and think, you know, hey, I'm as good as you are. And so when we look at things in the world today as far as church, we need to realize that what we get back from people sometimes when they start throwing things about evolution out and different things that, you know, this is all fake, the things that's going on with these horns blowing and, you know, the thing with the birds that were falling, you know, actually they didn't fall. They didn't find any trauma on the birds at all. They were just laying on the ground dead. That's one of the strangest things. I did a lot of reading on that, and there was no, when they autopsied the birds, which it's not an autopsy on a bird, I can't remember the proper word, but when they were looking, there was no trauma to lungs or heart or anything like that. They were just dead. It wasn't like they hit a blast of, you know, air or something that slammed them to the earth or something like that. It wasn't like they were electrocuted or something like that. They just died and were laying there on the ground by the thousands. And so when we look at these things, sometimes it's real easy for us to want to put our wall up, because we know what we believe, but it's like sometimes we don't want to let people in too far because we don't want to give them a chance to hurt us or to come back with something negative. But sometimes I think we need to realize that what people say is not really what's going on inside. I don't know how many times I've sat in church services where I was like, Lord, if they play that song just one more time, just please, Lord, make them play that song one more time. I really want to go pray. I know I need you in my life. I know that I'm at a place where I cannot make it on my own anymore. I need you like I've never needed anything else. I know you're that answer, but please make them play that song one more time. And I think about all these signs and things that's happening in the world today, and I think, what an opportunity we have to share these things, not as a doomsday, but to let people know this is just a sign that there is an almighty God. There's things that science can't explain. They can try to come up with an explanation after the fact of what happened. And we've gotten pretty good at predicting weather and everything. And like you said before, we've gotten where we've seen so many things happen. And like, you know, it wasn't that many years ago when, you know, they were shooting Scud missiles at Israel. And I remember the churches were filling up, and there was revivals all across the land because everyone thought that this was coming up to the end of time. And then that passed, you know, and things went on. And so people become hardened. And so even the people of the church, they become hardened. They're like, well, I know it's going to happen, but, you know, we don't know when. And God said, you know, no man knows the day or the hour. But are we really looking with a spirit of expectation? Are we really inviting people to realize that this is a lost and dying world that's going to burn with a fervent heat, and only those that turn to God and follow his plan of salvation that he has for us, they're the only ones that's going to make it. Do we really realize, do we think of ourselves as we're to be the people to go out there and rescue people? Do we really think of ourselves that we have something to share? I was talking to Blog Talk Mom the other day, and we was talking about force fields. And I was sharing with her that, you know, many years back I had, when Brother Francis was still at our church, I did something on that which my wife got on to me because I have a tendency to use things from sci-fi and movies and things like that. But back when I was a little kid, there was a TV show called Star Trek, and they had force fields. And they could put it around their ship, and they could protect their ship. But what was really cool was if they saw another ship in trouble and there was an enemy, and this ship maybe didn't have a force field about it or something, they could move close to that other little ship, and they could extend their force field around that other ship. Have we gotten so content that we enjoy just preaching to each other in our churches, and we don't realize that there's a lost and dying world out there, and we like to pat ourselves on the back and say, woo, we're saved, we've got it, yeah, 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 woo, we got God in our lives. But do we really love these people enough that we're doing all that we can? Is it one of those things to where when we go to church, it's like we're constantly having to pray through over and over and over and trying to find that perfection in ourselves to be more like Jesus because we're not really striving for it on a consistent basis? We work really hard on Sundays. We work really hard on Wednesdays. But the rest of the week, do we get so wrapped up and so busy in all the things that's happening in the world? Not on purpose. It's just because I think that's the Satan's trick that he has for this day and time. And I'm so thankful for you guys for having these scriptures and everything tonight. And I want to encourage everyone to understand that we want to talk about opportunities. It's not too late. You know, we talk about in my business thing about tying into an income stream. Well, I want to tell you that you can tie into a crimson stream of blood that was given freely, that you could have life and have it more abundant, that he made a way of escape, that he did nothing wrong, but he paid a price for our salvation. When we were still his enemy, he loved us enough to do this for us, and it's still there today. You can still tie into this on a one-on-one basis. You don't have to go through a church. You don't have to go through a preacher to make that initial connection. All you have to do is get into God's word, and you seek after him with a whole heart. You humble yourself. You ask forgiveness for your sins. You ask God to break that, whatever's holding you back and binding you. And even if it's certain teachings you've had in church that makes you not sure about what's right and what is wrong, God knows what's right and what's wrong. His word has it laid out. You know, we talk about computers all the time, you know, garbage in, garbage out. The other part of computers is that you can have a lot of different programs running at one time, and it slows down the whole computer. And so you need to realize that sometimes there's programs that conflict against each other. And when that happens, sometimes the whole thing crashes. But when we get it to where our whole focus is to just tie into Jesus, and we put everything else aside and we turn everything else off, and we go there, I promise you that God will lead you to people that's going to help share testimony of what's happened in their life and changed their life. And it's going to help you get into a faith-based church, because once you repent, then you got to go to that next step. You can read it yourself in Acts, the second chapter and the 38th verse. You can read what it said there in the New Testament church, what Peter said had to be done for the plan of salvation for this time. You got to repent of your sins, really, really be sorry for what you've done, and ask God to forgive you, and he will forgive you. And then you got to go and you got to be baptized in the name of Jesus. And then you're going to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost that's going to give you power to be more than an overcomer, so that you do realize that with these things coming, you do not have to fear anything that's happening, because your God is in control, and he's promised you things that no weapon formed against you is going to prosper, that all things are going to work for your good. And when you get on that page with God, everything else is going to seem small. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get quite so much on my soapbox there, but Blog Talk Mom or Sister Kaiser, do y'all have anything else? We're running down to the very last few minutes of the show here.
Well, I feel like that there's someone listening. I don't know if Sister Kaiser wants to pray. I like the way that the Holy Ghost has moved here to give people the plan. They can find the United Pentecostal Church, Apostolic Church. get in touch with you on Facebook to be led to someone that can give them more about this wonderful plan of salvation. Sister Kaiser, did you have something you were going to say?
Somebody said something about praying.
Yes.
Okay. Would you mind doing that, Sister Kaiser? You mind closing the show in prayer?
I'll do it right now.
Lord okay,
Jesus,
thank you.
We're so thankful. We're so blessed to know who you are. Thank you for your word, Lord. For it is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path every day, every night, Lord. And we thank you right now, Jesus, for every hungry heart, everyone that is in confusion, everyone, Lord, that is looking and seeking and searching and desiring and being inquisitive and wanting to know more about you. We pray that this program tonight, this specific program, Lord, has reached out to some man or woman or young child. We pray, God, that you can that they will just follow up and read your word and study and pray. God, we ask blessings and favor upon Brother Richie, Sister Starla, Sister Lively. We thank you, God, for real truth, the Holy Ghost, speaking of the tongues as the Spirit give the utterance, and being baptized in the only saving name of Jesus Christ. And we pray, God, that you would redeem souls. May some that have heard before and some that have never heard before, but tonight, may they got a glimmer, a glance, oh Lord Jesus, into what truth really is, and just satisfy their longing and their desire, Lord. Fill them up with your spirit and your power and your grace and your mercy, and put a hedge around them, Lord, so Satan cannot continually bash them. I pray victory of that in Jesus' name. Bless all these involved. We thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you for such a wonderful prayer, and thank you guys so much for having those scriptures together. And you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, God is in control. We just need to let him be God, and he's going to do his part. I've never seen him fail yet, and I don't believe he ever will. So we've already ran over our time. I want to thank you guys again. We'll be back next Tuesday night. God bless each and every one of you. Have a good night.
Good night.